here again, and as mentioned, some of us were away in Sweden last week, and we had a great time there. But what I find when you go to different places, I'm always keen to learn. I want to know how they do things. I want to see what they produce. I want to watch how they lead the worship, how they lead meetings and stuff like that. And there was a lot of really good things which I think we've picked up from what we saw just for that weekend in Sweden. But if I'm honest, there's some things I prefer the way we do. And I thought, John, you did an excellent job in just bringing worship this morning. Worship which honors the Lord and giving time just to worship and praise him. It's part of our DNA, I think. It's part of what we're here for, what we love to do. So I appreciate what God is doing here too. And it's great that Gareth's here to stay as well. And it's great what God is doing in Reading. And you know what Gareth was expressing about the pavilion, I know other pastors across town would all be saying the same. They've been rooting for us, praying for us. Just want them to give a bit more money towards it, but but they've been doing the rest of the stuff, and they're rejoicing with us, and it's great. It feels like we're part of the church in Reading, and that building will be used for the church in Reading too. So praise God. Great to have you with us, Gareth, too. Okay, I'm going to talk today. It was going to be one talk. It's now going to be two talks, so you can see we've got part one here. And I've called it the 3 D's, or it's not the 3 D's, it's 3 D's of discipleship. And, you know, at the heart of what we are called to do is an emphasis on discipleship. And today and next week, with our vision in mind, Stella, sorry, I haven't got my little clip here, so I'm going to have to rely on Stella there. With our vision in mind, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, our vision for the next 12 months, you know, to see more cells, to see more souls, to be impacting the university, to be impacting those around the Oxford Road area, to have a building which we can actually use and work with, and that's going to be quite a primary focus for the next few months. But with our vision in mind of all that we believe God is calling us to do, the discipleship needs to be at the heart and remain a focal point for us as a church. Matthew 28 says this. Well-known verse, we've talked on it, a lot of our vision statements hang around it. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, he called his 11 disciples because Judas had disappeared by then. And in verse 18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his 12 disciples was to go and make disciples. The Great Commission, not so much, well, it wasn't at all to go and hold crusades. The Great Commission wasn't to go and make converts or save converts. The Great Commission wasn't even to go and start churches. The Great Commission was to go and make disciples. And I have a question for you, which I'm going to help answer as well. But my question is, why do you think G12 is so challenging and in some circles so criticized? And I want to suggest the answer is because of the emphasis it brings and we bring on evangelism and discipleship. Fulfilling the vision of G12 requires we take ourselves out of our comfort zone. We work hard and we commit to a vision which is totally impossible, discipling nations. But then Jesus promised us, after he's told his disciples to go and do that, and he says, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And with him, in us and with us, that which is impossible in the natural becomes possible in God. And he's calling the church to transform and to disciple towns, cities, and nations. And that's why it starts with you and it starts with me. And I think that's one of the reasons why people jar when they hear the vision of G12, because you can't sit back in your pews and fulfill that vision. It requires hard work and commitment to Jesus and his promises and his purposes. That's why our open cells and our leadership cells are so important and at the heart of the church. Yes, we're here to make a difference. Yes, we're here to show the love of Jesus. Yes, we're here to celebrate his goodness, his love, and his mercy. Yes, we're here to love the poor. We're here to reach out with words, with works, acts of kindness and wonders. We're here to fulfill the heart and the commission and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that includes making disciples too. And I've got news for you. Disciples aren't made on Sunday mornings. Disciples aren't made in midweek gatherings, midweek church gatherings. Disciples aren't made simply by reading the Bible or attending a Bible study or going to conferences. And there's a great one coming up in July, two in July, G12 earlier on, and the one in Reading. And they're all great, and we love all of that. But in the end of the day, disciples are made by close interaction with one another and a leader. And in our context, disciples are formed through cells and through 12s. I visit Jim and Ruth quite regularly. Unfortunately, they're able to come to church here at the moment. I hope they'll be around later, but health problems have meant that they've... Actually, I think they've lost a little bit of confidence too in coming out. But I meet up with them. And they love one of the God channels on TV. I can't remember which it's called. It's one of the English ones. And they absolutely love it. And Jim and they Ruth and they listen to the Bible studies and they get so much for it. And I can see the benefit of the God channel for people like Jim and Ruth who actually can't come out and interact with people at this moment in time. And they're getting fed. But at the end of the day, that is no substitute for church. God channel is great, but church is people. It's you and me working it through together, our ups and downs together, loving each other, caring for each other, challenging each other, provoking each other, occasionally upsetting each other, and then forgiving each other and making things up. That's what church is about. And the God channel will never substitute church as good as it is. So Jesus, in these verses which I've just read, alludes to the challenges of discipleship. Next one, Stella. Firstly, he says, we need to make disciples. Disciples need to be formed. They need to be shaped. Disciples aren't born. They need to be formed. The day someone gives their life to the Lord doesn't make them a disciple. It makes them a convert. And our challenge is to take that brand new baby Christian and form and shape them into disciples of Jesus, that they will be useful and equipped and able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to spend time making disciples. Jesus says, baptize them. You see, baptism isn't an option if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. And baptism follows repentance. I'm not talking about christening. I'm not talking about... I was actually, as a two-week-old baby, submerged. So I was actually baptized as a two-week-old baby. I'm not talking about that. Baptism follows repentance. It follows conversion. And Jesus said, make disciples and baptize them. All believers in the New Testament were baptized soon after conversion as possible. And that should be our practice too. It's part of discipleship. It's one of the first steps that a disciple of Jesus or somebody who wants to become a disciple of Jesus takes. And then he goes on and teach them to obey. Ouch. We don't like that word, do we? We're Western people. We don't obey unless we want to or we're paid to. We're proud of our freedom to choose. No one tells us what to do or how to live. We like being independent. There's an attitude which says, you should just be jolly pleased I'm coming to your church. Please don't expect me to also obey and do stuff which the Bible expects and commands of us. We were producing, if we're not careful, a church of consumers, which are just coming for what they can get and sucking life out. But actually at the heart of discipleship, we're called to obey. Teach them to obey. And he goes on to say, everything I've commanded. And if some of you are thinking, oh, that is too much beyond me. I remember a very honest person saying to me quite a few years ago. He said, Nev, you've got to understand, church doesn't obey leaders. At the end of the day, we do what we want. And I think he's absolutely right, unfortunately. But that's not a church of disciples. And Jesus wants to produce a church of disciples which are prepared to obey everything he's commanded. You see, discipleship is a tall order. Jesus says you need to think very hard about it. There's a cost to pay, there's a price to pay, but I want to say it's worth it. And one of the reasons it's worth it is because disciples will change cities and nations. In the New Testament, Christian or believer is mentioned just half a dozen times. But disciples are mentioned over 250 times. That's an incredible emphasis, isn't it? On teaching, on training, on shaping, on forming in the New Testament. And do you know the sort of people that turn cities and nations upside down? Those who were disciples, those who obeyed. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, wait in Jerusalem. There's power from on high you need to receive. And you will need to receive this power, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. And they could have said, what's the point? He's gone. Let's go fishing again, as Peter had said earlier on, when his dream was shattered and he'd lost all hope. They could have said, why do we need to wait? There's multitudes out there which need to get saved. We've been with him. We've seen what he does. Let's just get on with it. But do you know what? They obeyed. They did what he asked them to do. They waited in Jerusalem. And suddenly, he came. A mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire. Powerfully, supernaturally, uncontrollably, a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those 120 disciples. And they were totally transformed and changed and empowered to be witnesses. And a few chapters later, probably a few weeks later, we read that they've turned Jerusalem upside down with their teaching. Even Jesus didn't do that. But those disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, turned Jerusalem the right way up, actually, with the teaching of Jesus. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want more? Peter says the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. You see, a disciple is a follower. It's a student, a trainee, an apprentice. That means all disciples have to have a heart to learn, to be taught, to be humble and teachable. Craig mentioned earlier on that the church we visited in Sweden, it wasn't Craig, it was somebody else, but it's not like us at all. And in some sense, the church isn't like us at all. It's quite a Pentecostal traditional church, or it used to be. But do you know what? I go to that place, as I said earlier on, and I think, well, there's some things here I wouldn't change, but I like that. We can learn from that. I like the way they, every service, people are giving their lives to the Lord because they're giving opportunity. I like the way they were doing their youth work on Friday evenings and stuff like that. There's a humility. I would never want us to get to the place where we think we've got it sorted. We know how to do church. We can't learn from anybody. Nobody can teach us anything. That's why I go to these G12 conferences, because I'm mixing there with people of churches of thousands. And they're changing cities and nations, and they're sowing seeds, and they're giving tips, and they're giving insights as to how we as a church can also do the same. Because they didn't start at thousands. They started, well, eight in a room, as far as Bogota was concerned. And now a church of 200,000 people there. Hallelujah. A disciple is somebody that wants to learn, a trainee, an apprentice. I want to say some of those who've recently come to the church over the last year or so and given their lives to the Lord have been a breath of fresh air. There's a hunger, a desire, a teachable spirit. And when stuff which is so contrary to what they've been brought up with and the values of society have been challenged through biblical teaching, they've been saying, well, if that's what the Word of God says, I need to change. I need to understand. Help me. I've always been brought up with this view, but I see that's contrary to what the teaching of the Bible is. That's a disciple. Somebody that's saying, I submit my views to God's views and want to follow what he's saying and calling us to. Jesus says to his disciples, follow me. And they did. And they left everything to do so. They had their ups and downs. They were rebuked and corrected by Jesus. And they served him, and they learnt from him, and they were loved by him, and at the end of the day, they lived for him, and most of them died for him. And Paul says a similar thing to his disciples. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What an incredible thing to be able to say. Jamie quoted that earlier on in the prayer meeting. You know, and Jamie was saying, you know, I want to be able to say that. And I want to be able to say that. And we need to raise our expectations and levels so that we can say that too. Follow me as I'm following Christ. That's what discipleship is all about. You don't know how to pray? We should be able to say, well, follow me. I'll teach you to pray. You don't know how to be a good husband? Well, follow me. I'll teach you to be a good husband. You don't know how to lead a cell? Well, follow me. I'll help you to lead a cell. You don't know how to be a Christian at work? Well, let's talk about it. I'll tell you what I do. Here are some principles. This is how I make a difference in the workplace or whatever it might be. You see, it's discipleship. Paul says of Timothy, his disciple, you know what to teach because you've learnt it from me. In other words, he's saying, you know what my heart is. You know how I would express things. You know what my view would be on that because Paul was his mentor. He was his discipler. Therefore, you know, I don't need to tell you again. Just teach what you've heard and teach that and bring that to this particular group or that particular situation. The disciple catches the heart of the discipler and begins to express that vision and heart to those which he's influencing too. But the trouble in 21st century Western Christianity is that we're producing churches full of consumers who only come for what they can get. But what we need to be producing is churches full of disciples who change their cities and nations because they're changing their families and the communities around them, and they can do that because they're changing themselves. Big churches in themselves will never change nations. I have a vision for LifeSpring to be a big church. But I know if that's just people coming on a Sunday, Reading will hardly know about it. But a church full of disciples will make a major impact on towns, cities, and nations. There's mega churches in America, 30, 40,000 plus. And I'm told that the communities around them are just the same level of crime, level of immorality, level of whatever else. Nothing's different. Nothing's changed. And one of the reasons for that is they gather in those four walls, but they're not going out and making a difference and an influence. And probably they can't, because disciples can. Those which are taught and trained can go and make a difference. You show me a church of disciples, of followers, training to be leaders, taking responsibility, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a church which will make a difference. And that's our vision, isn't it, church? Amen. So discipleship, it may be controversial, but it's biblical. And I want to suggest, possibly, a major reason why the church in our country has so little impact is because most churches aren't committed to making disciples. And I want LifeSpring to be an exception, where we actually are making disciples who are going to make disciples, who are going to make disciples, who are going to make disciples and reach this city and reach this nation and the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had 3 D's to talk about. And as I was preparing, I thought, I'm only going to get round to 1 D. So the next 2 follow next week. But the first D I want to talk about today, the first D of discipleship, is decision. We used to sing that song ages ago. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Discipleship starts with making a decision. A decision to change, a decision to follow, a decision to repent. Luke 15, verse 17, prodigal son left his father's home, left the riches and wealth of the home, ended up as a refugee, homeless, starving, no friends, no nothing, and he's there feeding pigs. And in verse 17 of Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. You see, like the son, a decision needs to be made and acted on. He made the decision sitting in the pigsty. But unless he got up that afternoon or evening or whenever it was and decided to go, that decision would have been meaningless. Decisions needed to be acted on. But he decided to go. And some of us who know the story will know the end result, that he was welcomed back and embraced and come back into a home again and loved and forgiven and became the son that he always was, but he wasn't living as if he was. It was God's grace and amazing love was expressed through him. But it started with a decision. Last week we heard from Pastor Leonard's son-in-law. He was telling us how he went to Bogota, uninspired, with no vision, content with church as he'd known it. But then his heart was touched and his eyes were opened while he was over there. And he returned to Sweden full of faith, full of hope, having caught a vision. And he said this, he said, when I got off the plane, I now had to determine in my heart to put into practice the decision I had made. I had made a decision. I was going to open a cell. And all of a sudden, you know, the conference had ended, but the decision now needed to be acted on. You see, all visions and dreams, if they're going to become reality, start with a decision. And so does discipleship. After the euphoria has died down, after the glory cloud has disappeared, you saw it, didn't you, at Bethel? One day. After the goosebumps have gone, after you've got off up the floor and the amazing worship has ended and the conference has closed, it's now decision time. That's when it counts in the cold light of day on Monday morning. What are you going to do? And discipleship requires we make the right decision. Our will needs to be exercised. We need to decide. And I just felt as I was preparing this, there may be some here today who've made decisions before. They've responded to appeals before. They've given their lives to the Lord, but it's been tough. And you've compromised that good decision that you intended to outwork in your life. Well, today, you have an opportunity again to decide to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, to make that recommitment, choosing to make him king and Lord of your life. And that's a decision. It's a big decision, but one which will change your life forever. If you've never done so before, today is the day. Jesus didn't just die that we might go to heaven. He has much bigger plans than that. He died so you can join his family business of discipling nations. You see, it's eternal life then, and it's abundant life now. That's God's plan and God's purpose. And it starts with repentance. That turning, that change of mind, that realization. You can't help yourself. You need him. You need a savior. He doesn't just want to save. He wants to be a king. He wants to be your Lord. He wants you to make him number one in your life and to follow him. You see, kings demand obedience. And that's what discipleship's about. It's a big decision. When Jesus shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was shed to give us the power to obey. Most of us find it hard to just obey. Most of us struggle. But when Jesus shed his blood, when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in some sense, he was struggling too. Have I really got to go through with this, Lord? Is this really what I've come for? And he ended up saying, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And as he sweat drops of blood, in one sense he sweat them for us, that we might apply that into our lives and say, Lord, I find it so hard to obey. I find it so hard to submit. I find it so hard to do what you're calling me to do, to live the life which you're calling me to live. But I apply the blood which was shed in that garden. And I'm asking you to give me that grace and that ability to be a good disciple of Jesus and to obey you with all of my heart. That's a decision. It's a decision that we all need to make if we want to be a disciple of Jesus. You see, there's a job to be done. There's people to reach. There's people that need to hear the gospel. In your framework of friends and colleagues. There's families to pray for and to believe for and to win for the Lord. There's sons and there's daughters which have wandered away from God. We need to pray to bring them back again. There's cells to invite people to. There's cells that need to be opened. There's encounters that need to be intended. There's 12s to win and form. There's spouses to love. There's children to bring up in the Christian faith. There's the poor and there's the vulnerable to care for. There's a dream to follow. We need to make a decision and decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to make him king and Lord of my life. And that's where discipleship starts. It may be hard. It may be tough. But we need to be like those that said, but I've made that decision and I'm standing firm. I'm going to see the glory of God. I'm going to change lives through the power of his spirit. I am going to be obedient to my master, Jesus Christ, and make him number one in my lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And that in our church structure, everyone has got someone looking out for them. If you're part of a cell. And everyone has potentially got someone to disciple them and help them grow in faith and vision. But it starts with a decision. You need to make that decision and decide. Firstly, to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. So I want to invite you afresh, non-Christian, not yet Christian, seeking person, Christian, saved a long time. Why don't we make that decision today? Say, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower. I realize you didn't just come to save. You came to transform. You came to change. You came to make such a difference in my life that I can make a difference in other people's lives through the power of his spirit. Let's stand, shall we? And I'd like to pray. I want to give you the opportunity to just to pray this prayer with me. And then we're closing with a song. But why don't we just pray this prayer together? And then I want to say, if you've prayed that for the first time today, maybe during the song you'd just like to come forward. Maybe an aspect of recommitment, so that might not be the first time, but you want to recommit. You want to recommit your life to make him king. And that means following what he's calling us to do. Or maybe there's some here for the first time today who've never made that commitment in the first place. And you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, you're saying, I want to be a disciple. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to be a convert. I don't want to be somebody that just comes to church. I want to be a disciple. I want to be part of that family business of changing nations. I want to be saved. I want to know that relationship I can have with God and the power of the Spirit to change my life. Then while we sing the song, you come forward too. And that we'd love to pray with you. But let's pray this prayer first together, and then we'll sing the song. Just repeat after me. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me and forgiving all my sins. That I may have a relationship with you. Fill me with your power today. Fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may be a witness for you. Give me the grace to obey and the heart to be discipled. And as I grow, the desire to win and disciple others. I commit my life to you afresh this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll sing the song. And as we sing the song, if anybody wants